Chuck and Julie, bringing you the truth straight up.
I'm Julie Hagan. I'm working at
an Emmy-winning former investigative reporter, a highly successful trial attorney, and publisher of a major Denver area newspaper. They've been partners as talk show hosts and in marriage as parents for over 10 years, providing thought-provoking information, opinion, and entertainment live, local, and interactive. Everyone's voice is always welcome on the Chuck and Julie Show.
And happy party Friday, everybody. The Chuck and Julie Show, Truth Straight Up, the grassroots show. Chuck making his way down. He's just wrapping some stuff up here at World Headquarters. The show brought to you by Mountain West Wellness, Advanced Acupuncture and Chinese Medicine. So we've got with us today the chair of the Colorado Republican Party, Dave Williams. You're not seeing this in a lot of the liberal or anti-Schutz media, but the past couple of days, threats have been made, very dangerous threats against the leadership of the Colorado Republican Party. Those threats linked to a town hall that your usual rhino suspects held just the other night. All the people who tried to orchestrate the coup against Dave held a town hall. And this guy who on Twitter, his name is Anthony W. Chavez, started posting. He was engaging with the rhinos, Christy Fedora, Britta Horn, Natalie Tennant, Steve Peck, Todd Watkins, Eli Bremer on this town hall. And Dave, you guys put out a release yesterday announcing it. So I don't know, just maybe start, bring us up to speed. The State Patrol initially said, you guys filed a report and the police are actively investigating this now, right?
Yeah, that's correct. When we got the threats or noticed them, we contacted the authorities immediately. We reached out to the Colorado State Patrol because we weren't sure, right, given the fact that all the different officers and volunteers and staff are spread out throughout the state. We weren't sure who initially had jurisdiction. So they took in the information. They started investigating. And today we got word that they felt, after everything they took in, they did a jurisdictional review, and then they handed it off to Greenwood Village PD, because that's where our headquarters are located, even though our personnel and officers are spread out. So That's where it's at right now. They're investigating what's going on. Hopefully nothing escalates any harm occurs, but it's a pretty horrific thing. And I think what's most troubling about this, aside from the threat, are the fact that you have people in our party who disagree with the current leadership, who are trying to downplay it, trying to explain it away. But if the shoe were on the other foot, if the roles were reversed, they would be crying bloody murder. They'd be saying, this is outrageous. Something needs to be done. But because it's us, these awful people who tried to take over the party through a coup attempt are now trying to underplay it, say, no big deal, nothing to see here. Let's not talk about it. As if they can be so cavalier and flippant with someone else's life. Shame on them.
Because I think, and I'll read some of the threats here, but I mean, literally, this guy threatened to murder you, basically. And he did so after, I think it's fair to say, because, I mean, no one's ever heard of this guy really before. He's not some kind of big player, but he joined this town hall that was set up by the rhinos, the same coup people who have been spreading lies and misinformation. And just, I mean, they're just, it's vicious stuff that they spew. And no wonder people like this, you know, get worked up about this kind of thing, get worked up about it, and then go off the rails, but in a dangerous way.
Yeah, that's the thing that these I'll call them rhinos, I don't care. These rhinos, these traitors, these people who want to harm the party because we have conservative leadership, they don't want to have any responsibility whatsoever. When you call them out, I mean, they've been sowing division and hate and lies for the better part of a year now, and which really amped up during the summertime. And now when we have crazy people, you know, thinking, hey, Dave Williams and the leadership team, they're a threat to the Republican Party. We got to do something. We can't wait till March. Now they want to be hands off and try to not only downplay the threat itself, but then say we have no involvement whatsoever. And I think it's sickening. These people have been sowing hate and division. They've been instigating this type of violent, potential violent behavior. And now they want to somehow not be tied to it, even though they're completely tied to it. This guy is a political ally of Todd Watkins, a political ally of Britta Horn, a political ally of Natalie Tennant, Eli Bremmer, everyone that was a part of the Civil War that tried to take
over. They didn't say anything at the time.
No.
Those came out. They didn't say, oh, no, that's wrong.
Yeah, Anthony, knock it off, right? They didn't do anything until you made it public.
They kept quiet most of the day, and then finally they felt compelled to say something. But this is what I think is so sickening by the people who disagree with us politically. I think they're secretly okay with this type of stuff. I think they want the grassroots, they want conservatives to be intimidated, and they want them to live in fear so that they don't speak up. I mean, those are just the coup organizers, the people on the front lines for the establishment. But think of the media.
Right.
I guarantee you, had it been my counterpart, the Democrat chair, the Governor Polis would have issued, you know, the National Guard to protect, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
And then, of course, Phil Anschutz and the Gazette and the other people, they actually would have written up, you know, a more fair and balanced story. Instead, it's more about, oh, Dave's worried about, you know, a potential death threat. The guy literally said he wanted to murder me or whoever else was connected to the social media account with the GOP. I mean, and he did it in such a way by comparing it with the United Healthcare CEO.
In case anybody missed the point.
Right. Well, here, let me, and I'll just read. This is what this guy was posting. And this is immediately.
What's the guy's name?
Anthony W. Tavis. We already said it. Immediately after this conversation, this so-called town hall with all of these traitor Republicans, he says, effing you up is going to be the highlight of my year. I already have bail money. This is the guy, meaning he's the guy that's been waiting for a reason to come find you. You're in danger. I know where you live. Soon. Dave is nothing. Who will run to investigate? Nobody. Who can you run to? Presidential shooters hardly get investigated before the fact. Do you think that Dave is that important that anyone's going to care? The Colorado GOP can't figure out why the healthcare shooter is celebrated. Do you think they would understand if people celebrated when/if something similar happened to them? I mean, he's comparing it. And again, I will say this isn't the first time. I mean, Hope had to deal with this after some similar Facebook posts viciousness went on. And then a person who did end up was in a mental health institution, but was making threats against Hope and her family. And the thing is, like you said, the two sickening parts are number one, the rhinos, and I've been saying, they have gone too far. It's one thing to say, okay, we don't like the current GOP chair and we're going to gear up and we're going to kind of get people excited about getting a new GOP chair. But to do this kind of stuff and to be okay with that, with people who are their allies actually saying they're going to come kill you. I mean, that's, I don't even have words for something like that.
And you should reply if you have it. His quote unquote, you know, version of it. Do you have that, Julie? Because it's pathetic. I'm just an investigative journalist and I wasn't this, I wasn't that. You know, none of it contradicted what he said before. And what some people have trouble putting their mind around, you think of moderates and rhinos and so forth as not very mean people. But that's only to Democrats. To Republicans, they're unbelievably vicious.
Just for fun, Joy Overbeck pointed out to this guy who's threatening to kill you, oh, by the way, don't forget Chuck Bonnywell, Julie Hayden, and Mark Hampton.
Thanks, Joy.
You know, rather than saying you should tone it down, Anthony, she's like, here's some other names.
Yeah, well, why don't you go ahead.
I hadn't seen that with Joy Overbeck, but it doesn't surprise me. Again, this is sickening. And when it happened to Hope earlier in the year, the rhinos, the establishment, they all tried to say she was lying. She was lying about it. It was verified afterward because they insisted that proof be given. But, I mean, this is how low they'll go. And Chuck's absolutely right. I think we often think of the establishment and the rhinos of our party as sort of timid and they're unwilling to fight. But that's not exactly the case. It's when it's Democrats, that's when they want to fold and that's when they want to be cowardly. But when it's against Republicans within their own party who are grassroots conservatives, the knives come out, they get vicious, and that's when they actually get some sort of fighting spirit. I'm sorry, I don't know how else to express it. The lack of a response from these people that tried to instigate a coup and take over after they're directly responsible for this guy's threats, or those who are underplaying everything that's going on. They're sick. They're sick people, and they
Well,
don't have a.
the one I was introduced to at all, or maybe one of the many times, is when a guy decided to run against Mike Kaufman when he was in Congress and primary him. And by the time they finished screaming at him,
Oh.
smearing him, libeling him, I mean, he was literally crying. He thought it was just sign a petition, get to run for thing. But what they did to him was really unconscionable. Because he dared to try to primary Mike Kaufman. He had no chance. I mean, it was just him, right? Oh, Barack Obama said, get out your tap board and get people to sign it and stuff. Boy, when they went after him, it was
Yeah, and
ugly to
and
see.
those weren't physical threats like this either. Well, Dave, so Charlene is pointing out, because I want to point something else out too. Charlene says we have to use the term rhinos to differentiate them from real Republicans. Sounds like they're using tactics from the Democrat playbook. Sounds like the Uniparty is unleashing hired guns to intimidate MAGA, a strategy from higher up. I want to address this because this is just my theory. I noticed that this happened, this town hall happened. So the same
I'm
week.
not sure you can call it a town hall.
Well, but they're
Check.
calling. All right, that's what they call that. It was a
They're,
meeting on Twitter, like a Zoom
yeah,
call.
me, Zoom
A
call.
Zoom call. So that's the same. The same week, Nancy Pelosi, the crazy Jeff co-chair, who was censured by her Republican Party, comes out with all kinds of lies about the lawsuit that they forced you guys into. And Nine News has a story on it. Then Daniel Bellefontaine, the disgraceful Republican Party chair in Adams County,
Which
writes
one?
a column in Complete Colorado, like he's like besties with Complete Colorado all of a sudden, saying that somehow Gabe Evans, who had millions and millions of millions of dollars, needed your help. Again, if I don't know what that was about, but then this happens.
Well, he said, well, Dave didn't knock on any doors. Give you a clue. Neither Daniel Bellefontaine, he didn't knock on a single door. Hold a sing, he hailed some desultory thing that nobody'd show up
But
to.
my point is, though, I think Charlene is right. I think that there is a push, and this is the launch of the push. Now, maybe this went farther than they thought it was going to, but
No, it's just somebody protested. And
yeah.
I got one from Los Animas County, which is another traitor county, and his guy's saying, oh, let's get together January 6th to see who we want for the
These
next
guys,
year.
so the you know these guys, on the one hand, they're deeply annoying and just despicable with the lies that they peddle, but on the other hand, they're exposing who they are. And the message I got for
Yes.
Daniel, or I can't even remember his name, from Los Animas, get ready, man, because I'm gonna be deposing you guys. This isn't over, right? We
Right.
still have some business to settle over the failed coup attempt.
Well, bring us
So
up to speed on that. What are you talking about?
maybe even Monday, huh?
Yeah. What's going on with that?
Look, I mean, the part of the first step that we're taking is we're gonna follow through with the executive committee's formation of the investigative committee. We've hired on Matt Arnold to help lead the efforts to do that. He has a great history of
Yeah.
investigating the rhinos and figuring out where all the dead bodies are. And so we'll put a release out to the party and to our members, letting them know that Matt Arnold, who used to lead Campaign Integrity Watchdog, is going to work with us so that we can uncover the extent of everything that was done over the past 6 months. And then, we are going to proceed forward with getting restitution for the party from these guys that made us expend a lot of money. And time and energy. And so, Daniel, go ahead and write all the op-eds you want, but we know you were a part of the organization of this coup. Get ready for a deposition.
That's right. Well, and yeah, and I think, and hopefully, and this is what hopefully we can do there is let's find out who's paying for all of this, right? I mean, I guarantee you, Daniel Bellefontaine does not have. I mean, what is it? He doesn't know who to contact at Complete Colorado, right? Just like Nancy Pelosi didn't write that stuff. She didn't just suddenly wake up and become a media star. Somebody is orchestrating this, and somebody is paying for this, and somebody was paying Chris Murray, you
I
know?
think with the death threat that we just had, not only against me but others in the party, it just underscores the need for us to follow through on, you know, holding these people accountable. They think they can act with impunity. They think they can go out and spread lies that lead to nuts threatening the lives of people, and have no accountability. What they got another thing coming.
Right.
I think it's long overdue. I mean, quite frankly, I listened to Christine KBB on the radio the other day, and
will also be deposed. Get ready.
Well, how about sued? And we all kind of promised we'd sue her for all the money she wasted and all that. Are we ever going to do that?
Well, at a minimum, she'll be deposed.
That's right.
We want her sued.
Well, and here's the thing, and then I would challenge other people like Dan Kaplis, like Heidi Ginnall, who co-hosted with her, right? Where are they? You know, Heidi Ginnall wants to reach out to the grassroots, and I like Heidi, but where is she in this, right? I mean, how hard, like, where is she? Where is Dan Kaplis? Where is Jeff Hunt? Where are those people, the so-called, you know, media, the other media? And you're absolutely right. Zero crickets from them, right? I mean, it's our show. I think a new Grassroots Connect, Rhino Watch has it up. Mark Hamden is talking about it. But you know, there. If it were the other way around, Dave, you're absolutely right. If
I'd be all over. It'd be on all those publications. It would be on Colorado Gazette, the Denver Gazette, even Colorado Politics. It'd been all over all the Rhino radio, because that's what radios turn into. Rhino, you know, Mandy Connell, she would be all over it.
Yeah. She's not a Republican anymore, though, she says.
Well, she says she keeps on changing her mind every few days.
Well, here's the thing, too, and I'd like to point this out. All of this comes after the best election that Colorado Republicans have had in decades in Colorado, right?
Notwithstanding everything they did to make it a terrible election, everything that the Rhinos did to destroy it.
The rhinos of our party don't care about winning. This is the fallacy or the misconception or lie, whatever you want to call it. They don't care if we win. They only care if their small select few at the top have whatever sliver of power the Democrats allow them to have. They don't care. They really don't care. Wayne Williams doesn't care. KBB doesn't care. Advance Colorado doesn't care. Phil Anschutz doesn't care. Paul Lindeen doesn't care. None of the people that are at the top of the party. Outside of the party, not the actual party apparatus that we lead, but outside of it in the House, the Senate, the congressional, none of them actually care so long as they get theirs. And that's the biggest problem with our party, not only here in the state, but also nationally, unfortunately, is that we have Mitch McConnell, great example of a guy who had no problem doing his own agenda and even bucking Donald Trump. I don't know if you guys remember this, but he actually attacked Donald Trump in January 6, 2021, right? And said, never again, we're never going to, this guy's crazy, we need to get past the MAGA movement. And now that Donald Trump is back into power, he's kind of changing his tune, but not so much. I mean, this is the type of thing we deal with. We deal with people who are one way to characterize them is they're survivors. They figure out how to maintain power and reinvent themselves superficially in order to keep that power. But they don't really care if we win or lose, because Barb Kirkmeyer, another great example, this is a person who wants to run for governor, be the worst candidate whatsoever. Why? Because she's phony. She's a phony. She works with Democrats to help them pass their agenda. Right. And she somehow thinks that she's going to be God's gift to our gubernatorial race come next cycle. And by the way, I can't say that now because the elections are over. Barb Kirkmeyer, she won her re-election, God bless her, but she shouldn't be in power whatsoever, because she's the exact problem with our party. She doesn't care that there were death threats.
No.
Her and many of the other people, they kept their mouths shut secretly, because I don't think they would mind if we got killed. I really don't.
It would make it easier for them, because obviously the grassroots have power now. And I think with the election results, with the Donald Trump movement, the MAGA movement, it's all the grassroots are in power, and they have to resort, just kind of like the Democrats did, to more and more and more extreme measures.
Think about this for a second. KBB, all my predecessors, right? Election losses after election losses after election losses. We've been losing for 20 plus years. Then we take over, and then we do what we can while fighting rhinos, openly and hostily fighting them, because they can't handle it. and we actually have election wins. These guys spent 2 years saying that if you elect conservatives, we're going to have greater losses than what we've seen in the past. Never happened whatsoever. You think they would be celebrating and trying to move on in the future, but they're not. No. Because they don't care about actually winning. They don't. They only care about themselves being in power, whatever little amount that may be. So, you know, God, I don't know who's running, but God bless, you know, Mark Baisley or Greg Lopez or whoever else is running for governor against someone like Barb Kirkmeyer, because she's a catastrophe and shouldn't be anywhere near.
Well, she wanted to get rid of the assembly process, right? She was for Prop 131.
Yeah, because she wants to trick voters. This is the scam that all the rhinos do. They want to trick voters, and the only way they can do that is having a lot of money so they can engage in mass marketing schemes. This is why she supported Kent Theory. She wanted to do away with all this stuff.
Right.
This is what's going on here. And unfortunately, our only hope is to actually go back to a grassroots process that is based in the caucus and the assembly process.
Well, and speaking of that, let me ask you about, because one of the things that sparked this Zoom town hall meeting that led to the threats, Well, that's what they call that's their website.
I know, it's just like everything else.
Okay, whatever. Is Steve Peck. So the Douglas County, because I don't understand this for the life of me, Douglas County GOP chair Steve Peck, who I think has higher aspirations, the Douglas County commissioners are like a hot mess. I won't even go into all of that. Laura Thomas quits right before. So Kevin Van Winkle, who we love, was elected. But there's a vacancy for about a month. Now, as I understand it, the law requires Steve Peck to convene a vacancy committee and fill that vacancy. But instead, he just calls up Jared, his buddy Jared Polo, says, oh, hey, Jared, we got a vacancy committee down here in the Republican Party. Why don't you pick your person? I mean, what the heck is that about?
I'm not entirely sure the sequence of events, but Steve was told in some way, shape, or form that Polis would appoint Kevin Van Winkle because Kevin had won the election for the seat itself, which, you know, I think that's probably going to be the case because we have a history of that. But the problem with that is that Governor Polis isn't doing it because he's altruistic or he cares.
No, it makes him look great.
Yeah, that's exactly it. He's doing it so it makes him look like he's a bipartisan governor. The other problem with this is that it's our job to do it. If we don't do it, it calls into question the need for the party to begin with. And I guarantee you this, if it were me, if I had to put together a vacancy committee and I didn't do it, all these people would be screaming bloody murder and how I abdicated my authority or I didn't do what I should have done. I guarantee you they would have done it because they have this weird Dave derangement syndrome about
that's what
them.
They do. Yes. It is.
That's exactly what it is. I guarantee you they would be crying bloody murder if I didn't call a vacancy meeting. It was my responsibility to do so. What's good for the goose is good for the gander. Our rules require it. And God, quite frankly, we shouldn't be giving up our authority to the opposition party.
No. Well, and number one, let's say that's just what a Jared post is like. Oh, yeah, I'll appoint Kevin Van Winkle. You know what I mean? It's like God knows what he's going to. What does anyone going to do to him if he's like, oh, I changed my mind. Right. And like Chuck says, all it does is it fuels Polis, who probably wants to run for governor or for president someday. It makes him look good. Right. And I almost had a heart attack with this. You know, he pulled the stunt where he's like cutting things in half. Colorado's the sixth most regulated state in the nation. And Polis pulls this stunt where he's like cutting
some
regulations.
Executive orders from 1804.
Vivek Ramaswamy said, great job, governor of Colorado. That's why we don't give any credit anywhere, anyhow, to Jared Polis.
Look, I mean, this is what Jared Polis is good at doing. He's good at PR stunts that kind of make him look like he's a moderate when he's not actually a moderate.
Libertarian.
Right?
He's a libertarian.
Libertarian, right? But it's not true, right? I mean, I am sorry. Executive orders from the 1920s that have no bearing on 100 years later. Of course, it's – why not? It doesn't
– right.
If he actually cut regulations that cost him something, right, some political capital, then maybe we can talk about thanking the guy. But this is all ridiculous nonsense.
And this is
the biggest problem with what Steve Peck did, is you gave Jared Polis a victory, and at the same time, you're making it more and more likely that they'll do away with what little authority the party still has.
Right.
Which is a
So.
point, because when you think to yourself, why would Steve Peck do this, right? What would even why would it even occur to him to call up to have Polis do it?
Steve Peck would have condemned me, right? Yeah, like if again, if it was me, he would have sent out a letter. He would have gone on whatever Mandy Connolly's stupid show and would have been like, "Oh,
Right.
Dave didn't do
You
what he
gotta
should
send
have
Dave your
done."
Mandy Connell thing. Do you have that on
No,
sale?
I don't know. I don't
Yes, you
know.
do. You have it.
We
Send it
don't
to
even
him.
want her in the party. Get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
She's so awful. I gotta tell you, I'm tired of pussyfooting around this issue. We have a lot of bad eggs, bad apples in our party, and it's come high time that we just start dealing with it.
Well, the
Exactly.
problem is that they'll never go away because they always figure some way to get
We
in.
need, as you
So
said.
let me talk. The first announcement by Gabe Evan is a statement, although not framed as such, in support of Mike Johnson's policies in Denver. He said, "Oh, we ought to guard the border, but and we can deport criminal felons." Oh, big! How many we got there? But we should allow to stay millions upon millions upon millions of people that quote unquote aren't felons. I mean,
Thank you,
he's,
Americans for Prosperity.
yeah, just whoring himself out to Charlie Koch as his first announcement. It's disgusting. He's a disgusting individual. I'm glad he
Well,
won, but he's a disgusting sellout of a person. And who won the Regent race? Yay, KBB. Who won the State Board of
specifically
Education?
KBB.
Yay, it was Kathleen Chandler. Utter rhino garbage. Garbage. And
Okay.
We got him. That's who we get.
Yeah,
And
I
so next time,
mean,
oh,
we've got good people.
let me tell you, nationally speaking, I mean, Donald Trump's going to have to do a lot of the heavy lifting here because I don't have any faith in Congress. Let me tell you something. When they do the census counting, they count anyone that's
Right.
in the state, regardless of their citizenship.
Right.
So let me tell you why I don't think Congress is actually going to get serious on this. Because if they do and they start mass deporting people, then there's going to be a lot of congressmen that are going to be redrawn into other districts fighting each other,
Yes,
and they're going to
right.
lose power. So I don't think these congressional people are actually going to get serious about this. And so Donald Trump's going to have to muscle it through with Tom Holman and other folks as well. And
Right.
God willing, I hope he does. And I do hope that all the good guys in Congress who don't care about maintaining power work with him to do so. But I got to tell you, there's about 400 crooks in Congress, and guess what? They come from both parties.
Yeah.
Yes, that's true. Well, listen, Dave, we'll let you go because we've got some more coming up here. Please keep us posted on the investigation. Stay safe.
At the lawsuit
And the lawsuit too, because
against the
like you said, it's time to hold these people accountable. They've crossed lines have been crossed here. It's just,
Yeah, time to get.
your family shouldn't have to deal with this. So,
Nor should we. I mean,
right.
Joy Overbeck. Oh, kill these people too.
Yeah, no, it's no. We will legally hold these people accountable and do it
right.
legally. And stay tuned.
All right.
All right.
Dave, thank you. Thank you for your
Thanks,
time.
Dave.
Appreciate it.
Doing a great job.
Yep. Yeah. We had so many. I know you couldn't read all the comments, but everybody loves you on that. So yeah, we will keep you posted on that too, right? The police are investigating those are, and it's a Greenwood Village police, and they'll do a good job, I think, right? I think
No,
like
I wouldn't
well,
assume they wouldn't. They might, and they might not. I mean, there's no
but
assurance they're not.
we were reading some of the things, the level of that, those are clear threats, right? Now the guy may try to say, well, I didn't.
They come across, they're not vague. They're
No,
not
he didn't
anything
have to word
else.
it that way, right? He didn't have to word them that way. They were that way on purpose. And again, it came in the wake of all this hatred that was being spewed by the rhinos. They
By
thank people.
our national committee woman.
RNC committee woman. Thank you, Christy Fedora, for that. So we will keep you posted on that, but I want to switch gears a little bit
We're
now.
going bipartisan now.
No.
We are. We are going on birth.
One of the things that, you know, the concerns when you have stuff like this is, well, how do you tell who is a rhino, right? People say one thing when they're running, then they do something else and they get it. And one of the ways you can tell is this
The
one.
key way.
Yeah, and we've talked about it before, but it's worth talking about a lot. The Liberty Scorecard Colorado, because they track bills and things. And once again, we have Sue Moore with us. Sue, thank you for your time on this Friday afternoon and appreciate it.
Well, hello, Chuck. Hello, Julie. Thank you for having me. Thank you for giving me the time to talk about what we're doing at Liberty Scorecard. We always appreciate it.
Well, yeah. So,
You
what's
bet.
co tell us what's coming up for? I can't believe it's almost
Well, no, why
20.
don't you just go over
Well, that's what I was going to say.
go over what Liberty Scorecard does
What do
and
we
what
do?
everybody.
Yeah. So, I've talked about this a lot before, but Liberty Scorecard is a group of patriots who, during the legislative session, the state legislative session, we actually read all the bills as they're coming down the pike, and then we apply our principles. And all this is available on our website, libertyscorecardco.us. But we have a whole worksheet of principles, questions that we ask while we're reading a bill. We look at fiscal notes. We listen to testimony. During the week, we do our research. Everyone does it
Right.
independently. We collect all of our information on a common spreadsheet. And then we have conference calls, Zoom calls on usually on Sunday afternoon, at least once a week, sometimes twice, depending on the volume. But then we give each of these bills a robust discussion. We talk about what we like about it, what we don't like about it. And then as a group, we take a vote whether or not to support or oppose each bill, and we record that. And then usually on Monday, I send out an email to all the legislators, telling them, what our position was, how we justify that, and then just letting them know, this is what we're thinking, take it or leave it, whatever you want to do with that information. But we try and get that out before they've cast any
Now,
votes.
why don't you tell us what the criteria are that you base your.
You're talking about the scorecard and how we collect data, the data
No,
points.
no,
What
no, no.
are your
Saying
principles?
limited government.
Oh, right. Yeah. So we've got several principles that we look at: limited government, state versus federal balance of power, fiscal responsibility, equal protection, rule of law, individual liberty, personal responsibility, property rights, and free markets. So we've got basically eight. We kind of bunch those into three broad categories. So it's individual rights, free markets, and limited government principles.
Right.
And like I said, we've got a spreadsheet. We've got, if you totally didn't know what you were doing, you could actually follow along, read a bill, look at a summary, look at a fiscal statement, fiscal note, ask these questions, and then come up with your rating. So really, I wouldn't say it's idiot-proof, but if you wanted to follow along, you could actually do that.
Well, and you guys, it's so important that you do that because, the bills have words like we are a limited government, no taxes, unicorns and rainbow supporters. And then you look into it and it's the exact opposite, right? And reading your way through those bills, because a lot of them, they're, well, not all of them, all
They're
of them,
changed.
they're, yeah, they're, yeah, it's technical, legal mumbo jumbo. And you guys are just, I think, invaluable in sort of getting to, okay, here's what it actually says, and here's what the impact would be, and here's what they're doing. And then secondly, what you do that is so important, I think, is you then track how the lawmakers vote on it, so people
We give
could,
them a grade.
yeah, so people could go
Exactly.
see, right?
Yeah,
Talk
and
about
we
that a little
actually
bit.
update that weekly, at least, sometimes more often. So they know how they're doing. There's no secret behind it. It's all out there for the public to look at, for the legislators to look at. Yeah, and to be honest with you, when we talk about reading bills and all the legalese stuff, sometimes you don't have to read very far into a bill to know it's a bad bill. So it seems
Yeah.
like we're, doing a deep dive, and on certain bills we do. We spend a lot of time and a lot of discussion. We actually reach out to some of the legislators and say, what were you thinking? Or what was the origin of this bill? So there's some back and forth as well. But, I'd say at least half of them we don't have to read very far until we know, before we know that we're going to oppose a bill.
Well,
So.
and here's also too where it's important because like each legislator can carry like several bills, and it's not like for the most part, and Chuck, you were a lobbyist down there, so you know this, they're like sitting around going, what's my bill? It's like, no, somebody with a vested, generally financial interest is coming to them, like you did, and saying we need you to support it, right? So there's already going into it, you need to be able to see what's behind the curtain, so to speak.
And they sometimes right, don't, exactly. They don't even know what's behind the curtain sometimes. You know, you'd go to the lobbyist. Well, no, you go, if you're a lobbyist, you go to somebody and say, You know who's supporting this? They go, no, and then you tell them, you go, oh, you're kidding! The Democratic Socialists of America are backing this, and you know, a lot of times they don't know,
right? And that's the Secretary of State's website is actually a good resource. We can go there and look at which lobbyists are behind it, which ones are supporting it, which industry groups are supporting or opposing. Right. So, you know, there's a lot of information out there. You just have to take the time to look.
Well, and you guys do. And then thankfully for the rest of us, you put it all in a place where we can see. What do you think coming up? I mean, so they have lost their supermajority. Like that probably does. I don't know if that's going to make a difference or not. But what do you see coming up in 2025? I just worry that about one of two things, that it could be better because they could sense the mood of the country. But I mean, Colorado and Denver in particular is crazy. And they could say, heck, we're just going to go for it. We are going to go full boat crazy socialist. I mean, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't see a whole lot of change. If you look at the leadership from the Democrat side, nothing has changed. So they're just going to keep ramming through their agendas, their big spending agendas, their attacks on landlords, their Second Amendment attacks. You know, I don't know specifically what's coming down the pike, but I don't see a whole lot of change coming from their side.
And, you know, and sadly, there's no change on the Republican side either.
Not really. Not in leadership, no, sadly. We do have three new House members and one new state senator, I believe. So depending on how they decide to align, that, you know, their voting records, and, you know, we'll start putting pressure on early saying, here we are, you know, we're not going away. And hello. So, that's the lever that we have, and we use it as best we can. And we're always looking for ways to improve. I think we're actually trying to create a bigger profile for ourselves. So we've got some things working behind the scenes, and we're also going to add some things to our website, like, you know, their tracer reports, who's, you know, donating to their campaigns. This was not my original idea. It came from the Texans for Fiscal Responsibility.
That's a great, though.
That would be a great link, don't you think? Yeah.
Yes, because it's, having done a lot of that myself, it can be complicated and kind of time consuming. And if that's a link that's just right there, and if you don't put it in right, God knows, you go to restaurant reservations and things like that, right? In terms of trying to find stuff. No, and I think that's good. And I think you guys make a difference. I know I went to a slew, you know, during the primary season of candidate meetings, and at every single one I went to, at least one person said, what's your Liberty scorecard score? Ooh, you know, you guys are out there and people are aware. And then the legislators, they also were aware of the power of it, because they would try to, if they did not have a good score, they would try to weasel their way around the answer. You know,
I had one of our early meetings of the Adams County, we had Gabe Evans come, and I said, well, what's your Liberty scorecard number? And I said, I think it's 64. And he goes, you know, I have no idea what my Liberty score is. Said, it's a failing grade. And then he goes, it was a 67. It wasn't a 64.
Well, that was last year, Chuck. He actually, the interesting, if you watched Gabe over the last 2 years, I can't remember before that. And I don't know what he had in 2023, but last year he actually had a 78.
Right.
And well, and that doesn't pay a part two. He remembered our conversation and specifically said, I'm a 78 now. There you go. Take
See?
That.
See, I think, though, that is in large part because of groups like you, right?
That not
you,
groups.
Well, groups.
There are no groups.
Yeah, that's right.
Like
because of your
There's
group.
Some other ones that have in the past rated candidates, and they were awful. You know, they would just be, you know, saying, well, he's helped taxpayers, i.e. corporations, on this and that. There is no other rating scorecard that you can trust in Colorado. There's the only one I trust, and I promise you, the others can use it, but this is the only one I can trust. And I think, you know, it's up on the GOP website. I know it's up on Rhino Watch. And I think it ought to be everywhere.
Mark Hamden has it in Honey Badger.
And Honey Badger. And but I think it should be everywhere because, it, you know, if you're a liberal and somebody scores a 10, well, great. You know which one of your representatives really do more or less represent your left-wing views.
Right.
And so for everyone, really, quite frankly,
yeah, it's not
if
just
you like people in the middle, well, there they are. If you like people who respect liberty, there they are. I mean, whatever you want, this is not biased information. Yeah. It doesn't have an agenda other than reporting people based on a criteria that a lot of us uphold. I don't always agree with the ratings on bills. I mean, I've seen bills I like or bills I hate, and for reasons, you know, who knows, you guys approve them. But if you took overall, you know, I'd probably agree with 90% of them. And you're never going to agree 100%, but I think it's because they do so many bills.
Right.
They go over so many that, you know, one or two votes, you know, because they're not going to change it massively, your scorecard. But overall, you know.
But legislators respond to that's out there. You know, like Charlene is saying here, you know, they have a low score by how much they denounce it. And then after their rant, I just tell them, wow, you must have had a really, really low score. So.
Well, that's Richard Holter.
Yeah.
He was saying, you know, I forget what his excuse was. Somebody, one of the scorers, second cousin, twice removed.
Didn't like him.
Yeah, rejected him for a date or something.
Well, so where can people, let me give you anything else you want to have on people's radar going into 2025?
Yeah, you know, I wanted to go back to Chuck's point. You know, we rated of the 705 bills that came out, I can't remember the exact number, we rated 535 bills.
Wow.
And with that, we take our data from their final committee votes and then their final floor vote. So we have, I forget how many, you know, 1,200 or 2,000 data points for each legislator. So if we biff, or if, you know, I mean, we don't think we're perfect. We do our best, and, you know, but, you know, if we miss on a couple, that's, you know, that's life. And, but you know, what my point is, we're collecting so many data points that I think it paints a really accurate picture of how well these people understand these principles. So, so that's kind of functionally how it works. And
I agree.
Yeah.
Well, and as you said, you email them too. And I know you've talked about this before, where if somebody really has an issue with you guys and say, you know, you're willing to listen, right? Because like I said, you guys don't, it's not like someone's paying you to do this. You're just, you're left. No, they're not, Julie.
Hardly. I wish. But yeah.
You guys do go out of your way. It's my experience to be fair to people.
We do. We do. My phone number is on every email that goes out to these legislators. So if anybody wants to reach out to me, and oftentimes, like I said, we'll reach out to them. And you know, if we can't quite figure out where something's coming from, we ask questions and we start a dialogue, and we love having them contact us. We love that. Because it makes us better. It helps us build our arguments. We don't usually change our positions, but we like to have the back and forth. And occasionally we do, but not very often, really. Usually, you know, they'll say, well, what about this amendment or what about that? And, you know, usually a good amendment won't make a bill something that we can support.
It can make a bill better,
and we appreciate. Oh. And that needs to happen, too. They need to be down there fighting for good amendments to make horrible bills less bad. So we do appreciate that. But like I said, you can't shine a piece of poop.
And the other thing I hope we'd eventually be able to do in a cognizable form is tracking where Republicans sign on to Democratic bills. Now you have a group of sponsors, and you don't really know whether this is theirs or somebody else's. But you know they have big at least for the big legislative items for the Democrats, the Democrat leadership is really pushing which Republicans sign on with them would be a wonderful, because Rose Bleasley,
it's like you don't have enough to do.
So. Yeah.
Actually, we've already done that. It's on our website. We will.
But I can't. I couldn't get to it.
It could be
it's
operator.
A large file. It's a big file.
If you want to find out, you know, because it lists all the bills they've signed on to. So you don't know. Maybe it's a good Republican bill or maybe not. There has to be something to have a co-signers Hall of Fame or something, co-sponsor Hall of Fame, where Rose Puglisi signs up for whatever sickening, disgusting left-wing thing that Democrat leadership wants.
Yeah. But,
So where can then, I always like to give you the opportunity to give your website, because and also too, if folks want to help out, they can help out here too.
And you should.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. Again, it's libertyscorecardco.us. And there is a donate button there. We can use the money. We, you know, we don't have huge expenses, but we do need to cover our website stuff and our MailChimp and, you know, a handful of things. We don't endorse candidates, so we're not collecting money to support anyone or oppose anyone. But, yeah, it would help. Any amount would help. We would appreciate that. But it's libertyscorecardco.us. And we are always looking for volunteers. So if that's something that you're interested in, please reach out to me. My phone number's on the website and my email address, but we'll start doing training in early January. The session starts on January 8th. So if that sounds, you know, like something, if you're a weirdo like the rest of us, and that sounds like something you want to do, and you don't have to read every bill, we can break it up in bite-sized pieces for you. But yeah, we're always looking for good patriots.
All right, Sue, thank you so much.
Is there anything else you'd like to add, Sue?
No, that's pretty much it. You know, that's kind of what we do, and we're not normal people, but we think it's important to hold these people accountable. And you know, Chuck and I have talked about this. We don't weaponize the scorecard. We just present the information. So it's there for anyone to look at. If you need more information, I'm happy to point you in the right direction, but we don't make a point of, you know, trying to shame anyone. We do praise the ones who are really good. The Ken DeGraffs, the Scott Bottoms, Stephanie Luck, Ron Weinberg, Kevin Van Winkle, Brandy Bradley. Those are some of our real rock star legislators. So, yeah.
That's not a big group.
Yeah. I mean, there were some, we had 13 A, Bs, and Cs. The rest are not so great. But so, if you want to know who the
13
good ones
people
are,
out of a legislature of, what, 100 people?
100, yeah. Yeah. So, but it's better than last year, you know?
There we go.
Wow. All right.
We're moving up. Gabe Evans did much better than last year. So,
he's off the
Congress.
All right. Thank you so much. Appreciate
you're great,
it.
Sue.
Good work. Appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you. Merry Christmas.
Right. Y'all, Merry Christmas to you too. Okay, good. Oh, yeah. Charlene put the email up there, or the website up there too. And Donna, Dr. Donna, we'll get to that question later, because the group not happy with Dave did not, this is true, Dr. Donna, the group not happy with Dave are not happy with Sue's group either. I wonder why. Yeah. For the last couple of minutes, I just love, I couldn't find a funny video. Chuck was like, do we have a funny video? And I couldn't find any funny videos.
Well, everybody, that's what everybody
well, everybody's
for,
copywriting them anymore. So you got to be
well,
careful what you pull.
Copyright
well, no, then they pull our stuff off of everything and send me threatening letters. But I do love the drone story, right? We had Colonel Mills on a long time ago, well, months ago, talking about the drones over the Air Force bases. Now they're like going crazy in New Jersey.
Yeah.
And I don't know which is worse. So you've got the Department of Homeland Security and the FBI saying, first they're trying to say there are no drones. And then, you know, the police chiefs are like, here's the pictures. And then Larry Hogan, no, here's the pictures of the drones outside my house. And everybody in New Jersey is now constantly, the memes are funny where they're like driving around looking up at the sky.
Right.
And I'm sure now, I mean, everybody's got their own drone up there flying around.
We sent our
Yeah, we sent the Glendale Cherry Creek Chronicle drone, we sent there to find it. But I don't know which is worse, the government saying either them lying to us about not knowing what it is, or them actually not knowing.
Yeah,
they're just so incompetent, they don't know. Because, I mean, I'm not a national security expert, but it seems to me that if you have drones essentially the size of SUVs that could carry missiles or other bad things, you know, flying over military bases or cities and things like that, and we have no idea. I can't understand why they can't follow them. I mean,
I can tell you why. You know, they had Secret Service. Secret Service couldn't figure out how to operate a drone.
That's right. That's
they
right.
had they had one guy calling the 1-800 number saying, "Where's the on button?"
So they couldn't.
The
yes, they couldn't protect President
and,
Trump.
And in addition, they had no defensive thing if a drone flew over and killed them. They have nothing for that. No, they couldn't even get their own drone to see if you know, shooters were all around, assassins. They couldn't even do that. So the fact that they can't figure out what all these, you know, things over New Jersey are I mean, it's the Hindenburg going down again.
Well, and then for them to think that we're going to bite it, it's like we have no idea what they are, where they come from, or what their
But you
intent
say,
is. But you say
you're good. Just report it to your local FBI headquarters, and they'll take care of it,
no.
And they'll take care of you.
And it's kind of fun because now everybody, and I'm sure it's driving them crazy because everybody now, you look outside and you say, oh, I think that's a drone. And I'm sure everybody around the country is now looking for drones too. So.
Well, there are a lot, you know, our world headquarters for our newspaper is across the street from a guy who, a drone place. And they're getting bigger and bigger. And the other day, he had one of his drones that came up to a window. It was as big as a table. I go, whoa, we're under attack.
Jack, it's a figment of your imagination.
Yeah, that's right. Imagination, that's right.
On Monday, we're going to have Todd Sheets on. He's an economist, an economist and an analyst. He's going to be talking a little bit about Trump's plans for the economy.
That's great.
And some of the things he's going to do. But that's going to wrap it up for us on this Party Friday. Thank you to Dave. Also, we'll keep you posted on what's going on with that. And thank you to Sue.
Yes. I don't know who I can thank. But
okay.
thank you, Julie.
Thank you.
Joy Overbeck.
No.
We're putting a target on our back with one of their crazy rhino people.
Hey, and Thomas and everybody on Zoom, we will see you all on Monday. Have a great weekend.
Take care.